Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a happy day. Is my mic on? Good morning, good morning, good morning. You guys come on in and have a seat. Welcome to the House of the Lord today. It's a happy day today. We're going to sing some songs about Jesus. How about that? Amongst our family and our friends in a church that we love that's been recently painted in a land that is free. And God's just been good in that regard. We're so grateful for that. Today is Youth Sunday, and for just a minute, we're going to hand off the torch to the young people. And I got something to say to you about these young people. They're going to outlive us. They're going to be here when we're not. And if the church is going to be operating 50 years from now, it won't be run by me. And it won't be run by many of you. It'll be run by them. And they have been taught that the highest use of a human life is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Can I say to you, child of God, if you're not living there, you're living below your privilege. You're living below where God created us to be. That thing that we're supposed to do it in our lives, and we have the choice to do it today, is to put God in that first, best, and highest place. And how can we do that today? We could listen to the lyrics of the songs that are sung for you today. We pray about every single song. We don't ever have a youth service where God has not picked the songs. God loves you. God sees you. God hears you. That's good news, isn't it? Isn't it? And he wants you to hear these songs today, so we feel like that he's done that for sure. You can listen to the songs. You can open your heart for the message. When Shiloh leads us in a congregational song, sing. Sing from the bottom of your feet. Remember what Pastor Snyder used to say? If you're going to sleep in church, snore. Get after it. Put your heart into it. God's been good today. Will you bow your hearts before him today? Will you align your heart up with his today? Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you that you're a God that involves yourself in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, that you don't stand far off, that you draw near. We thank you, Jesus, that you always come trying to bring us back to you. We thank you, Jesus, that you're real and you're a living God. And we pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us to lift you up. And we pray that you draw our hearts to you, because that will be so good for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take. To life again, I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shade when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I know who I am. Running my way, I know I am yours, and I was made for more. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. You buried my past, I'm not going back. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more.
Please stand and turn to page 379 and sing with me on There's a Fountain.
Emmanuel's veins.
standing. This song is not in the hymnal, but I'm sure you all know it. It is, oh my gosh, my mind is blank. I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Good morning. May the ushers please come down. We hope that you are enjoying our youth service this morning. Please remember that tonight we'll be in the fellowship hall. Oh, wow. For our evening service and fifth Sunday fellowship. Brother CJ will be preaching. We're asking everyone to chip in and bring finger foods and drinks for the meal this evening. We hope everyone will make plans to join us. Please remember, on our prayer list, especially the Palmers, Brother Leonard undergoing immune therapy, Mrs. Pat Eccles, who needs our prayers, continue to remember Brother Alan Clayton as he recovers from back surgery, and Jim Daly Jr., who has been having some issues with his foot. Brother Justin, could you please pray?
Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for what our hearts have felt already. Thank you, dear God, for our young people, Lord, as Brother B said just a moment ago, that they are, they're the church now. They're the ones going to carry the torch, Lord. And so, God, I just thank you, Lord, for using them this morning. Lord, they had the anointing. I'm so very excited to be here, Lord. I was moved and touched. I know everybody else was as well. And God, we just pray for the remainder of the service that you move in a very special, mighty way. Bless Brother Brian when he brings the word, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'll feed our souls. Lord, I pray that someone would get saved. I pray that a saved person would be encouraged. And even the saved that may be following from afar, I pray they'll come back to the cross today. Bless this offering. Use it for the ongoing ministry here at the church and on foreign fields. We love you. We thank you. We need you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Don't need forgiveness.
forgiveness when you've never walked away. This is my story. I'm a life made new. I'm the one who's been set free. Oh, I have found a friend in Jesus. He is everything to me. I have found a friend in Jesus. Yes, he's my everything.
Amen.
And I have a shepherd who always keeps me safe. And I found a healer who knows my every pain. But this is my story of redeeming love. I have come to know him well. I have found a friend in Jesus. He is everything to me. I have found a friend in Jesus. Yes, he's my
Bibles, please go with me to the book of Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. I pray that you're singing that song in your kitchen this week. I pray that some of those songs find their way into your car. Are you one of those people that can sing on key? I cannot. Everything sounds different in the key of Brian. I'm not kidding you. When I sing "The Anchor Holds," you think it might come loose. But I tell you the truth, when I lift up Jesus in song in my heart, you know, remember that song that says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Many people who have met Jesus Christ have taken a pen and started writing songs that were just absolutely fabulous. They had met Jesus and they discovered something that's true. Did those girls sing the truth to you today? Is Jesus really all that? Did they estimate his value? Did they make more of him than he really is? He truly is the hope of the earth. Can I say this to you, young people? You have to carry Jesus to the next generation, or there's no hope for the next generation. You have to lift up Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is the solution. There's no problem on the earth that if somebody would not start walking with Jesus, that would not get better. Literally no broken marriage, no broken company, no broken country. If we would walk with Jesus, things would absolutely get better. And I'm thankful that Jesus comes running our way. The truth of the matter is, did you remember the first song that she had us sing together? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Is that true? Is there really such a fountain? Is there really such a place where you can go and get all of your sins and your shame and your failure washed away? Can I tell you something? It is spectacularly true. It really is true. And you know why I'm so moved today is because I needed that fountain. I needed that place. I needed a place to hide my shame. I need a place to hide my failures. I need a place to hide my sins. And Jesus Christ is the answer to all of those things. He has come. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the only washing agent in the whole world for the stains that we have before God? That literally before you get saved, you have to have Jesus Christ. You turn to him in salvation and you get complete and total pardon for all of your sins. That one song said, "My sins not in part but the whole are nailed to the cross and I bear them no more." What a washing he does when we get saved. But after we are saved, we still sin, don't we? We still commit sins. We still transgress. Remember, Jesus taught us that truth when he said, when we pray, say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Very next line, you remember it? "And forgive us our trespasses." And Jesus was washing the disciples' feet one day, and he illustrated this to them. When he got to Peter, you can imagine God washing your feet. Anybody got unwashable feet? You don't want nowhere near my feet. I'm just telling you. And to be honest with you, I don't want nowhere near you. My fingers and bunions, I don't know. They just don't mix, right? But Jesus is washing the disciples' dirty feet, and Peter's a little aghast by it. He's like, "You can't wash my feet. That's crazy." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash you," listen, he said, "if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. You have no part of me." That was a dangerous thing. Peter knew, "I got to have a part of you." And he said, "Then wash my hands and my head." You remember that? "Don't just wash my feet, then wash all of me." And Jesus said something critical for your understanding, child of God. Jesus said, "He who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet." You've been forgiven for your sins. You are eternally pardoned for your transgressions, but you need that daily cleansing from your feet for your fellowship. Do you know why you can't walk around with muddy feet as a Christian? Because you were called to run. You were called to be all in this thing for Jesus. Do you remember the highest call of the Christian life? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And you can't do that with dirty, sinful feet. So go to Jesus for that cleansing. I love what Max Lucado said. He's got some quotes that just blow me away. But one thing he said was, "God was so holy, he could not condone our sin. God was so righteous, he could not ignore our sin. So incredibly, he sentenced himself to death for our sins." Wow. Wow, this Jesus. But you know what's crazy? In spite of that great truth, the fact that Jesus really is all of that, mankind's history is one that we are trying so hard to run away from God. If you look at the history of mankind and you look at your own life, you'll know that it's true. from time to time, there's something that pulls us away from the Lord, this Lord that loves us and cares for us. And if you look at all the history of mankind, God blessed Adam and Eve. Do you remember they had this perfect environment? For all time, husbands have been trying to find that spot with their wife. Just one boy, one girl in a paradise-like place with a little less stress. And if we can find it, we're like, yay! Fat Albert says, hey, 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 right? We did that thing. They had it. They had that place in that Garden of Eden, and yet what did they do? They chose what God told them not to choose. Satan influenced them, and they started running away from God. Think of it. The first thing they did when they sinned, what did they do? They hid from God. They put fig leaves on Natalia, and they were hiding from God in the goodness of God. Isn't that crazy? They were hiding from God in the goodness of God. What's going on? If you look at all the history of man, and you could just look at it from a third party, and you just said, you know what? If we were just a third party and we just looked at mankind and we didn't have the involvement of God in man's life, by now you would understand surely they have found destruction, because that's what we so often choose. They had the garden, they had the perfection that God had given them. As soon as they got the opportunity, they sinned and they ran away from God. And what happened next? Their sin became a part of their world. Their children murdered each other. Do you remember that? And one day Eve walked up on the bloody dead body of her son. That's crazy, right? And yet they persisted in sin. And by the 10th generation, do you remember what the Bible says? The Bible says man that God had made and blessed with all creativity and ingenuity and skill. We're so blessed compared to the animals. Man had completely rebelled against God. And the Bible says the thought of their heart was continually on evil. It was violent. The strong suppressed the weak. And it was wicked. And then the Bible says God sent the flood. It was so bad, God said, this has got to end, and he sent the flood. And the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And chapter number 8 of Genesis ends with these words that Noah offered a sacrifice, and it was a sweet-smelling savor to God. This fresh start was off to a great place. Chapter number 9 begins with these words, and God blessed Noah and his family and told them to be fruitful and multiply. We're in chapter number 9 of Genesis. This is the beginning of the story of man, and you would think, okay, here we go. But chapter by chapter number 11, they're worshiping false gods and they're building an I don't need you God tower. That's what they're doing. This man that God loves and forgives and gives a washing place continually runs away from God. Genesis chapter number 11, they're building this I don't need you God tower, and it's a great big mess. And you just be honest, look at the world around you. Look at the world around you. Is there anything that's going on where Jesus is not involved that is not destructive? Look at the countries where Jesus is not allowed. Look at the places in the world where Jesus is not allowed. In North Korea, is there freedom? No, they have like 6 haircuts they're allowed to have. It's crazy, and the rich and the powerful suppress the poor in horrible ways. In Iran, I marvel that there's these places that they call like homosexuals for Palestine and things like that. The reason that is so crazy is because in those lands where Jesus is not allowed, they will kill you if you're homosexual. That's crazy. You can literally look that up. They'll murder you, and they have done it recently. Wherever Jesus is not prohibited, it is dark and it is gross. Think about the drug houses that are in our community. Is anything getting built in those drug houses? Anything getting built in those drug houses? Think about it. They're perpetuating darkness and brokenness. And even the people who are selling the drugs, do you think they're getting built? No, they're corrupting their souls. I wonder at night if they ever see the tears of the little boys and girls who cry because their parent died of a drug overdose. I've seen some of those tears. I've seen some of that brokenness. I wonder if they ever feel the darkness that they are perpetuating on the world. Think about the parties that young people go to and the swinger things that go on in our country. Are they building anything? No, they're destroying it. You think about a party where Jesus is not allowed. It looks like a good, fun time, but you know what's being born? Addictions. And it won't be long now till you'll understand this thing has more of me than I have of it. It has more control of me than I have of it. Where Jesus is not allowed, it is utterly, totally broken. And yet, here's the good news. Jesus stands ready to save them all. Jesus would love for the drug houses to turn to him. And he would go running to them, and he would wash them, and he would save them. Jesus would go door to door, heart to heart, in every party and say, try things my way, walk with me, and he would save them and he would help them. He would go to all those countries and he would offer his salvation to those places. Can you imagine if Iran turned to Jesus, how that would turn the whole world upside down? This is truth. I said, think of man's history without God, but now look back, if you will, at the history, because God did not stand afar off and say, just choose destruction. He loved you too much, so he comes looking for you. He loved you so much, he comes looking after you. And the Bible says that when Adam and Eve hid themselves, God could have just walked away, but what did he do? You have to catch these dots. In the very first conversation that God had with Adam and Eve after they sinned, in the very first conversation, he told them there's going to be a Savior. Do you remember that? God said to the serpent in their presence, the seed of that woman will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. How do we know that's talking about Jesus? Do you know why? Because every man that's ever been born on the earth is the seed of a man. There's never been another man who's the seed of a woman. Do you remember what Mary said? Mary said, hey, wait a second, to the angel. How can these things be, seeing I know not a man? She understood you can't make pancakes without pancake mix, right? That's not how we do it down here, right? We need a man involved in this situation. And God said he would overshadow her. Jesus is the only seed of a woman, and he was born to bruise the head of the serpent who pulled them away from God. Jesus is in the first scene saying, come back to me. Jesus in that first place saying to Adam and Eve, I'm bringing help and I'm bringing hope. If you look to the ark where God brought judgment, the Bible says the ark is a picture of Jesus. They were kept safe in the ark. Those eight souls were spared from the wrath of God. They literally were spared from the wrath of God, and that is Jesus holding them and a picture to them. I will spare you from the wrath of God. If you look at that I don't need you tower in Genesis chapter number 11, we got that I don't need you tower, and the Bible says the father of Abraham was an idol worshiper. And even though mankind was with all their heart saying, we don't want you, God understood you need me, and he reached down and grabbed a boy named Abram. And we're going to see in this place today that right from the gate, yet do you know what the solution for that generation was? You're going to see it in just a minute in his first conversation. It's that same Jesus. It's that same Jesus. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. And the Bible essentially, I'm going to give you my words. God calls to Abram and says to him, come with me. I got some great things to show you. Those are just my words. But come from this broken place and come with me. Go. We're going to read the whole chapter, so stick with me. The Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's a pretty good offer, isn't it? That's a pretty good offer from God, isn't it? I will show you, I will make you, I will bless you. I know it's not been that long since I covered part of this, so I'll move quickly. But think about what God was saying to him. Abraham, I've got something to show you. If you'd walk with God today in the senior years of your life, God would show you things you will not see if you don't walk with God. If you walk with God in your childhood, God will build things into your life that you will still be seeing when you are a senior. What did God want to show Abram? What did God want to show him? He wanted to show him the great, great land of Israel. It was a pretty sweet spot. He wanted to show him the land that has Bethlehem. That's a pretty neat town, isn't it? Right? We need that Bethlehem. He wanted to show him the land that has Jerusalem. How significant is that town? He wanted to show him the land that had a hill called Mount Calvary. Come with me, Abram. I've got something important to show you. If you walk with this Jesus, I promise you, you will see some precious things. About a year ago or so, I guess at Jubilee, our little Jalen at the children's home got saved. And I'll never forget after she prayed that prayer, I asked her if I could share this. And I tell you today, she prayed the sweetest prayer. She was little bitty. I guess she was about 10 years old. But I remember her saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm a wicked sinner. That's what she said. I'm a wicked sinner. And I need a Savior, and I know you died for me. I remember that just as clear as day. When she got done praying in that little Sunday school room downstairs, I said to little Jalen, I said, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Honest before God, she went, yay! That's what she did. And a couple weeks ago, she started coming to me saying, I'm praying for our Natalia to get saved. I'm praying for Natalia to get saved, one of the other new girls in our world. And I remember she would say that over and again. She would actually say it in a group prayer request time with Natalia sitting there. I was like, I don't know that we should do that, right? I remember that. But I remember specifically two Sundays ago, she came to me in the morning and said, I'm really praying today that Natalia gets saved. And we were on the road at a youth service and over at, what's the name of that church we were at? I don't know. Anyway, just up the road in Douglasville. And we were at Sweetwater Baptist Church, and Natalia walked down to the altar and got saved. And I will never forget what I saw in the fellowship hall of that church. They were feeding us spaghetti. And I looked up, and Jalen ran up to Natalia and grabbed her. And this little girl hollered, "You're my sister in Christ." And I remember Dave thinking, am I in the 1970s in a Bible college cafeteria? What's going on here? What are my eyes seeing? My eyes see C.J. Martin there, and you guys have heard me tell that story. He got so sideways, 17, wanted to leave that children's home. God said to me, I have this one. God Almighty, Jesus, who connected me to God, said to me, I have this one. It was a pretty sweet day my eyes got to see when 17 years later, God made him a deacon on the same night this church made me a deacon. Pretty sweet to see his kid playing the drums over there. Pretty sweet, sweet, sweet. I'm telling you, you'll see some things. I told the kids recently that there's a little girl in South Florida that's very precious to me. Her name is Morgan Lane, and you don't know her, but she is Jennifer Lane's little girl, and she's 6 years old, and she's full of sunshine, and she goes to Christian school, and she memorizes two verses a week. And here's why that little girl is so precious to me, because God told me to build a tree lot for Calvary Children's Home. And God told me to build a tree lot for Calvary Baptist Church. And I remember that first year, God told us to build that tree lot. The next year, he told us to go to Christian Conference. We could never have afforded to go to Christian Conference if there had not been the tree lot. But we went to Christian Conference, and there God told Jennifer to go to Bible college. And Jennifer went to Bible college and met a boy, a pastor, and married him. And they have a little girl named Morgan. And their little girl is 6 years old, remembering Bible verses. Do you remember what I said to you? God dreamed up something. God dreamed up something. The first time I ever shared that was a few weeks ago. The very next morning when I opened my eyes, Jennifer sent me a text of her little girl in her Bible college uniform. Said, she loves you, Uncle B. She loves you. Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. He's got good things to show you. Walk, Abraham, walk. I'll show you. I'll make you. He's going to make him the impossible. Abram was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Fat Albert said, hey, come on now. Boom, shakalaka, impossible. Do you know what God wants to make you? He wants you to look like Jesus. And looking at you today, it's equally impossible, right? You forgive me for that, I'm teasing. But anyway, but do you know when you walk with him and he grows his love and his joy and the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you start to look like Jesus? He wants to do these things. He said, show you, I'll make you, I'll bless you. Is there a roof up above you? You got shoes on your feet? A good place to eat? Those things, but not just that, all the goodness that God brings. He said, I'll show you, I'll make you, I'll bless you. The Bible says, so Abram, verse 4. Oh, I can't skip verse 3. Sorry about that. And he said to them in that very first conversation, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What was God saying to Abram? In that verse, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know what he was saying to him? Jesus is coming through your family. Jesus is coming through your lineage. You walk with me and the Savior of the world will come. And because of Jesus, all the families of the earth are blessed. Because of Jesus, you are my forever family. I don't ever have to say goodbye to my kids. That's pretty precious. I don't ever have to say goodbye to my wife. We know Jesus. That's pretty precious. I don't ever have to say goodbye to the kids that have trusted Christ as their Savior who are part of my family at Calvary. I don't ever have to say goodbye to you guys. I will see Miss Barbara Anderson again. I will see her. There's hope. He created forever family. There's help. I remember Kenny Edwards said to me one day, I just don't know, Uncle B, about this Jesus thing. I just don't know. And I said to him, Kenny, before you trust Jesus as your Savior, all your problems are your problems. But after you trust Jesus as your Savior, all your problems and God's problems. And that tough little boy, one tear rolled down his cheek, and he said, I don't know if I believe that. That sure does sound good, Uncle B. It is good. And it is true. This Jesus brings help. He brings comfort. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. There are two gardens in the Bible. You know them. The Garden of Eden where man fell and the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus stood up for man. The Garden of Eden where there was a tree that led to death and the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus came to give us life. Walk with God, Abram. Walk with God. Look verse number 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. You should write right there in your Bible, hallelujah. The plan of God is rolling, right? He's going to do it. He's walking with God. And the Bible says, it spoke to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed unto Haran. That is good news. If you want to experience the things that God wants to have for you in your life, you cannot get to what God wants you to see if you don't leave what God told you to leave. You won't get what God wants to. You don't leave what God... You remember that scene in the movie The Forge? Where he says to God, God, what do you want out of my life? If you haven't seen that movie yet, you got to see it. And then he casts his eyes over and he sees his video game controller. And he's like, oh, no. Not that God, right? Not that God. I promise you, there are scenes in your life where God is going to say, this needs to go. You got to move. You got to move. You got to move. And if you move, you get to see it. I could tell you many scenes in my life. I don't have time. I'm already rolling. But the Bible says in verse number 5, so, and Abram took Sarah, his wife. Let me just say this to you, married men. Your wife is the only treasure God has promised you. You keep all the days of your life on the earth. She's the only treasure. God might tell you to move your church. God might tell you to move your job. God might tell you to move the country, but he'll never tell you to move your wife. You get that one earthly treasure you get to keep, so hang on to her tight. And Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance and all that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. In this verse, we realize there's challenges in the land that God has called them to. Right? The land is occupied. God said, I'm going to show you land. Yeah, but the Canaanite's there. But you know what? If you stay with God through the challenges of life, you get to see the beauty unfold. And challenges of our life, what are they for? You got a challenge in your life today. You know what it is designed specifically for? To cause you to lean upon God. And when you lean upon God, his story begins to fold. You are best when you're leaning on God. So sometimes he sends a challenge. You could look through the history of everything. David understood God better because of the paw of the lion and the bear. Saul understood God better because Nahash the eye plucker besieged one of his cities. You just walk through all of their history. Joshua learned better about the Lord because the walls of Jericho were so strong. Don't walk away from the call of God because of the challenges. Verse number 7 says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. Wow. God was near to him in his challenge. The Lord appeared unto Abram. I know a lot of Bible scholars would say, well, at this juncture, we assume that God was just speaking to him. Your Bible says God appeared to him. Your Bible says he got to see part of God. God is near to you when you walk in your challenges. And he said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Twice, it says, he appeared unto him. Walk with God in challenges. You get to see things better. And he removed from thence into a mountain to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and High on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still towards the south. He's still on the journey because God has called him in spite of the famines. God's been near. And there was a famine in the land of Abram, and Abram went down, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. We'll stop right there for a moment. Abram was a good spot, right? He's on this journey with the Lord. He's got the one earthly treasure that God has let him take with him. It's Sarah, and we learn here that she's a good-looking girl. And he was on the right spot, and he said to her, I know you're a good-looking woman to look upon. You're fun to look at, right? That's a good thing to say to your wife, right? That's a fun thing to say to your wife only, right? You're a good-looking girl. And Betty White said one time that you need 8 hours beauty sleep, 10 if you're ugly, so you understand, right? But stay with me. And if you look at this journey and this couple, this is the last point that I'll preach. If you look at this journey and this couple, you will see that they are off to a tremendous start. I mean, God is showing up. They persisted through the challenges. He has walked with God. He's about to get to see things, and they come to this first hiccup. But before we get there, consider the couple, just the marriage. If you guys would, for just a minute, think about what might have been going on inside this marriage couple for the next few verses. The Bible has told us some things about Abram. And if I'm just calling balls and strikes, you know what that means? I'm calling it like I see it. Abram's a catch. I mean, he's a catch of a guy. The Bible says he's rich. Did you catch that? He's a rich dude. You don't think Melania's after Donald for his orange hue, do you, right? I mean, come on now. He's rich. He's a good, he's got lots of money. One time a guy told me money's good. It keeps your kids close. And I suppose that's true. I ain't got none, but maybe it's true, right? But he's rich. And I met a girl one time. I said she was 40 and not married, but she was cute. So I was like, hey, what are you waiting for? And she said, I need a rich Baptist Republican. That's what she said. I was like, I don't know how many of them are out there, but good luck. Go get them, you know. But at any rate, that's a good attribute. Nobody would say that's a bad attribute. Beyond that, he's a man of prayer. Several times in this passage, the Bible has said he has called upon the Lord. How many girls are looking for a guy who prays, who knows how to touch heaven, who knows how to get a hold of God? Beyond that, he's a man of remarkable experience with God. I mean, truly, he's a man who's had remarkable experiences with God. I'm so thankful for some of the things God has shown me. Many times people have said to me, God doesn't show himself to me like he does to you. I'm thankful for God's kindness in the ways that he's demonstrated himself to me. But Abram is all of those things. Beyond that, he's a leader. The Bible says he has servants. He's in charge. He is leading people and he's employing people. He's a guy who trusted God. The Bible says he is the father of our faith. Did you catch what I just said? He is the Mac Daddy of the faith. Father Abraham had many sons. That's who we're talking about, and he is her husband. On the other side of the coin, what do we have going for Sarah? Well, I'll give you a couple. The Bible says she's beautiful in several places, and beautiful is better than ugly, right? And say you'd have to agree with that. The Bible says she's 10 years younger. Now, don't throw rocks at me, but didn't Elvis Presley say, you're so young and beautiful, right? You know what I mean? She's 10 years younger, right? She's got these things going on, and yet she is barren. You remember that in the story? And in that history and time, that was a big, big deal. And I probably think, guessing from the things I just told you, she probably thought she was lucky to be attached to him. She probably felt like, I got me a catch, and I'm lucky to be attached to him. And when he traveled at the Lord's provision, there's no evidence that she resisted at all. The Bible gives no indication that she was like, of course, I'm going with you. And we come to this place, and he says, you're a good-looking girl, and watch what happens. The Bible says that you're fair to look upon. Verse number 12, therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. What? But they will save thee alive. You're too good looking to go into this land. They're going to take you from me and they're going to kill me. So in essence, you're going to have to say, she is my sister. Verse 13, and I pray thee, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and for my soul shall live because of thee. And at this juncture, our hero Abraham has taken a step away from the Lord. No matter how you read it, there's a host of Bible scholars who would say, well, Brian, you know, she really is his half-sister, so it's a half-truth, but can I tell you something? It is designed deception, and God is nowhere near deception. Every time you choose to willfully walk away from the Lord and step in areas that he has forbidden, you're going to experience some things you're not supposed to experience. And even if you don't accept that, maybe there's somebody out there who just loves them some Abraham and says, you know what? It was time of war. He could justify this deception. It is a huge lack of faith because God has said to him, you're going to be the father of many nations, and he has no children yet. Abram, you can't die yet, as spoken by Almighty God, and you need to be walking in the faith that you have. So he says, hey, let's carry this deception into the land. Now look at what happened when they get there. The Bible says, And verse number 14, and it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. She was real good looking. She's a 10. And the Bible says, verse 15, the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. The Bible is short because you got ADD. You're already wondering, it's 12 o'clock. When are we going to stop? Give me a few more minutes, right? But the Bible just shifted gears in a hurry. Did you hear what just happened? CJ, they just took Amanda, right, to be the wife of somebody else. It's not a little deal, right? Ceylon, they just took Miss Catherine. Brian, they just took Melita. Justin, they just took Miss Hales, right? And so you get what I'm saying to you, right? It's a big deal. It's not a little deal. And we got to think to ourselves, what do you think the look Sarah gave to Abraham when she's being abducted to go to Pharaoh's harem? What do you think she gave him? Do you think this was a sweet moment in a marriage? Do you think that she looked at him like, how could you? I trusted you. We were walking with God, and now all of a sudden, look at this mess. I asked Juliana a year or so ago, I said, what do you think the look that Sarah gave to Abram was? And this is what she said, you idiot. You know, this is crazy. How could you get it? What do you think the hours in Sarah's life were like when she was in Pharaoh's custody? And she was just waiting for what would naturally come as part of his harem. And she's been his wife. What do you think the hours were like in Abram's life when he was just wondering what's going on with Sarah and she's up there taken away from me and I have failed her? Let me say this to you guys. The dream is over. You remember those great big words? I'll show you, I'll make you, I'll bless you. It's over. He just, you know why it's over? Abram can't go fight Pharaoh. He's by himself. He'd be slaughtered. He can't even go tell him, hey, by the way, buddy, I lied to you. I lied to you, because then he would surely be killed. And the whole thing is over. And here we are again. God has blessed a man, and God has called a man to walk with him, and he has blown it by choosing his own path, and it's over unless God does something. Look with me, if you will, verse number 17. Crazy, crazy, crazy. You know what? God was into getting Jesus to you. God was into getting Jesus to you through his promise to Abraham. The Bible says, verse number 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. I don't know what the great plagues were, CJ. I don't know if they were locusts, boils, any of the number of things, lice that God used from time to time, but they got the message good and proper. Don't be touching that girl, right? And the Bible says, and Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is it thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me she was thy wife? And why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me for wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And you might think for just a second, oh, he just skated. You remember what the Bible says, though? The Bible says that Pharaoh, we didn't read the verse, but it says he had given him men servants and maid servants and camels and things, and he sent them away, and very likely he just picked up a girl named Hagar. And though you Bible scholars know, very likely he just picked up an Egyptian girl named Hagar, and he's off and he's on his way. And how in the world will he ever be able to put this back together? How will his wife ever be able to look at him the same? How will he ever be able to look at her when he has put her in such harm's way? If you will, go with me just two verses in chapter number 13. The Bible says Abram's back on his journey. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Abraham went right back to the last place he saw God. He went right back to the last place where God was when he made this decision, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And if you know your Bible history, the story and the dream got completed. You know why? Because Abram went running back home. Abram went running back home. You want to know a picture of God straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ was trying to describe God for us and how he handles our failures, he told the story of the prodigal son. And if you're not careful, you'll miss the story of the prodigal father. Because Jesus told the story and he was highlighting God's response to us coming home. And you remember the story? The wicked son rebelled and spent all of his thing, but then he came, realized his sin, he needed to go back home. He said, my dad will just make me a servant, I'll just go back home. But when the Father, who is illustrated by Jesus as God, saw his son coming home, what did he do? You know, say it. What did he do? He ran. He was so happy to see him home. I don't know what mess you got yourself in. Take off running home. I don't know today what you did last night. I don't know today where you are in your life, but if you've ever been closer to Jesus than you are today, go running home. Go run into that washing spot. Go to that place where God can hug you and clean you and get you in that precious spot. Place, you know, as the musicians come, that I am a lifelong student of the life of David. You know that I am. And I tell you the truth. Many of you may have heard me tell this before, but I voraciously read the Bible as a young person. And I love the story of David because when you read the Bible, it's literally what I said. It's generations, people walking away from God and all the destruction. Generation, and then God sending somebody, whatnot. And then you get to David, 1 Samuel, right? 1 Samuel 15, 16. You get to him in that life, and suddenly there's somebody who walks with God. And it's so refreshing. And I remember reading it almost for sport. It was just awesome what God had did. The day Goliath fell, Israel's losing days were over for 50 years. It'd be 50 years before they lost another battle. When David was on the earth, he held the hand of God and he walked with God. The Bible says he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. But as I come through the story, I would always come to that place in chapter number 9. And I remember the first time I ever came to it, where the Bible says when the kings were off to war and David was back home, and he spotted Uriah's wife. Do you remember that story? And he wrote, God is my witness. I'm not exaggerating. Elijah, when I was reading that story the first time, I literally was crying, talking to the Bible. Don't do it. We're finally winning. Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Don't do it. And as I began to read that story, the horrors of it unfolded. The Bible says he grabbed her even though he was told she was Uriah's wife. By the way, you want a list of David's mighty men, you know who the last guy on the list is? It's that bad to the bone boy named Uriah the Hittite, and you're going to see it in just a second. He was courageous, made the top, I think it's 38 men out of 1.1 million. That's what the Bible says, right? He's the very last name on the list, the valiant Uriah the Hittite, and he stole his wife. And the Bible says that he had an affair with her, and then she got pregnant. And the Bible says he tried to deceive Uriah and bring him home from battle. You remember the story. He brought him home, said, hey, take a break. You remember what Uriah said? These are the words he said. He said, my boys are in the field. Joab, my commander, is sleeping in an open field tonight. I'll not take comfort in my home. I need to be out there fighting for the armies of the living God. That's what he said. So the next day, David was like, okay, got to do something else. And he got him drunk. He introduced alcohol and got him drunk and said, go home, Uriah. Uriah, even drunk, said, no way. And then David did the unthinkable. As I began to read the story, I was just appalled. How could a man of God do this? Listen, when you walk away from God, it gets dark and we bump into the things in the dark we're not supposed to bump into. We're not supposed to have these experiences. And David writes a letter and says, put Uriah in the hottest part of battle and withdraw from him. He seals it. Who'd he hand the letter to? Handed it to Uriah. He knew Uriah would never open it and that he could put him. You know what's crazy? Just let me develop this for a second. David used his God-giftedness to murder this man. David was one of the few people who'd been in hundreds of battles, and he knew the ways of war and the art of war. And he knew that Uriah knew the story of David and Goliath. And he knew that he knew the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. And he knew the story of Saul and Nahash and people who held the hand of God. And he said, put him in the hottest place of battle and retreat from him, and he will stand there and he will die. And I imagine if that happened, we're told a little something, I'll tell you in a second. But honestly, if the boys began to run from Uriah, I imagine that was confusing. And it's like, what's going on? Why did you leave? But we fight for the armies of the living God. And he stood there and he died. The Bible says Joab put him up where the archers could get him. And he said when David gets word that some other boys got killed, by the way, in it, because he put Uriah where the archers could reach him, and they shot down another. And when he said to the messenger, when David gets angry that some of them got killed by the archers, and said, why did you get so close to the wall? Didn't you know the archers would shoot you? The Bible said when he's angry, say to him, Uriah the Hittite is also dead. And you know the story. It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable. Deep betrayal. This is not a little thing. When Uriah was confused and they're running from him, this is rated R, I'm stealing your life, murder. I'm stealing your wife, murder. And do you remember the story? Nathan the prophet comes to that great man David and he says to David, you know the story, he told him about the lamb. There were a rich man and a poor man, and the rich man stole the guy's pet lamb and he killed it and fed it to his guest. You remember the story? And David in anger said, that man shall die and he shall pay fourfold. And the prophet said to him, you did it. You're the rich man that stole the poor man's lamb. You did it. Remember what David said? He'll die. And you'll pay fourfold. You know what the prophet said? David said, I have sinned before the Lord. You know what the prophet said? You'll not die, but you're going to pay, right? You know what he was saying? The mercy of God is better than your mercy, David. And when David said, I have sinned and went running to the Lord, do you remember when he prayed that prayer, created me a clean heart? When he wrote that great psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, first thing, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Down there he wrote, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. When God moved in his life that way, he understood it's a good thing to go running back to God. What atrocity had David done? Unthinkable, unthinkable, unthinkable. But there's a washing spot. There's a washing spot called the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you today? Is there something in your life that you say God could not forgive you for? You're wrong. You're wrong. Go running home today. Go running home today. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses wherever you at. Go running home today. God, we love you today. We thank you. As the song sings, and as the music sing, and as we stand to our feet, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would have your will and your way. I don't know why you so put that scene on my heart today, but I know for somebody out there, maybe there's something that's just eating at them and they've done wrong, or maybe there's something that they can't get past and they need to just come run into Jesus and hide in the grace and hide in the mercy of God and ask you for forgiveness. And you said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I pray that you would do that very thing. I pray especially today if there's someone who doesn't yet know you as their Savior and the wrath of God still abides over their life and they're out there and they're apart from you, I pray you draw them that they might find the forgiveness of Jesus that's been the best thing that ever happened to any of us. We love you, Jesus. Move in this place. Amen. Stand to your feet as the pastor leads. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, altar's open. Thank you. There's a cleansing place today.
Come this morning.
You've heard the message. What a message we've heard. Time if you need to come this morning. Don't put it off.
I have decided
come to the well this
to
morning.
Follow Jesus.
Receive refreshment.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turn.
Continuing to sing this morning. As these are praying,
with me,
consider coming if you need
still
to come this morning.
I will follow.
Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have
though
you ever been saved
with
before?
Me,
where will you be 100 years
follow,
from now?
None go with
we can
me,
talk to you about it.
Still I will follow. No turning back. turning back.
One more time. More. Help us sing this chorus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Play softly there, brother, while we're finishing up here at the altar. Thank you, Brother B, so very much. What a message this morning, amen? And walking us through the scriptures and the book of Genesis like he did, painting us a beautiful picture of, wow, mercy, grace, redemption, man's sinfulness, God's love, all wrapped up in one service. So very thankful. While Brother Brian was preaching, I could not help to think about a certain song that I heard when I first got saved. And it's actually... It's a contemporary song, and I love contemporary music, but it's by Phillips Craig and Dean, an older contemporary song, Phillips Craig and Dean, and it's called Mercy Came Running. You remember that, Brother Brian? Mercy came running like a prisoner set free. What a blessing. Mercy, God's grace. Enough has been, Brother Brian did an amazing job this morning on that. We're not going to add anything to that, nothing to be added. But what a blessing, the mercy and the grace of God. It is here for you today. All right. Young people, amazing job this morning. All of our singers, let's give a round of applause. I tell you what you heard this morning when our young ladies were singing. You were listening to some young ladies who were ready to worship the Lord, whose hearts were full, and they all had a message to share in song. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so proud of you. Tonight, 5 o'clock, Brother CJ will be, I was going to say taking the stand, but if he's taking the pulpit downstairs, and this isn't a courtroom, is it? Too many of those shows I've been watching lately. But anyway, we'll be down there at 5 o'clock. Brother CJ will bring the devotion tonight. Remember to bring some type of food if you can. That way we all can eat, and we'll have a good time tonight. Do you like the way the church looks? Think about it for a little bit. Let me know. Amen. God's good. God's good. And it's been by your donations we've been able to repaint God's house, make it look good. Not that it didn't look good. I'm not saying that. Just saying that it is fresh and crisp, and we are come together to worship the Lord. And so thank you so much for that. All right, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Everyone have a great afternoon. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, thank you. Oh, Lord, how I can identify with being a sinful man. I'm thankful that I'm saved, but even after I got saved, Lord, I have the flesh, as Paul says. I have the desire to do good, but how to perform it, I just don't know how. Sometimes I do the things I don't want to do, and I should be doing the things that you want me to do, God. But I'm thankful for redemption. I'm thankful for a God of second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances. Lord, we don't take grace and mercy and say, well, I'm saved, so I'm just going to go partake in this sin. No, God forbid. It is not a license to sin. Salvation is not. In fact, the person who truly is saved will have a desire not to sin and to serve Jesus. So we're thankful for that reminder today. Be with us. Keep us safe. Let us have another tremendous service tonight downstairs. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. You're dismissed.